This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Info, and this morning I'm joined by Charles Osgi. Hello, Charles. How are you?
Good morning again.
Good morning, and nice to see you. Charles, for those who don't know, is superintendent of our school district here in Johnson County School District Number 1. Charles, I spent some time recently talking with the sheriff and the police chief and also the training agency, TAC1, who came in at your invitation, the school district's invitation, and came for their third year to do some active shooter training in our schools. I was hoping that we could just have a few moments to go back and revisit it from the education point of view.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, they were here prior to spring break. So they were here the entire week. And it was really not a training for us as a school district. It was more of an evaluation. So this is the third year. So this year we brought them on site and actually did an evaluation of are we implementing the stuff that we've been trained on for the last 2 years. So, and we mixed it up a little bit. We actually took the script out and we created scenarios in the schools that were unscripted to see how people react, to kind of find those areas that we need to focus on and work in. It's not just about active shooter, it's just intruders in the buildings and some different things, how we react and what those systems are. And you know what? We got better every day with that process. And by the time we ended at Buffalo High School on Thursday, we've seen a lot of things that we need to come back as a school district and look at. And it's just, it's not, the staff and the students did a great job of reacting, but now it's the systems in place. Who calls who? How do you get out? What are the procedures? So some of those systematic things, I think, are the big things that we have to look like. But yeah, overall, you know, we had some self-defense classes that happened in the afternoons at the middle school and high school. And we offered a couple community ones. Those weren't well attended, but that was probably on our end for not advertising a little more in advance. But then we wrapped it up with a really great day with law enforcement on Friday, which was a full day. So definitely TAC1 was on site. Again, I want to reiterate as the superintendent, it is not my intention. I don't ever want this to happen, but I also strongly believe that we need to be prepared. And, you know, what are some of the things, safety of our students and our staff, and what are we doing with our buildings? And not just the active shooter, but it's intruders in the building or upset people. How are we addressing those things? And, you know, there's been some unfortunate situations that have happened just in neighboring counties around us that really open our eyes to we are not immune to this type of things happening in our communities. And just knowing the things that are, you know, with the two interstates that come through Buffalo, I know our law enforcement has a lot on their plate, and there's some very concerning things happening, and our law enforcement's doing a great job. But overall, was very proud of the students and staff. It wasn't perfect, but we learned a lot from it. And I really feel we ended on a good note with law enforcement on Friday and that collaborative piece. So we had the highway patrol, we had local PD, we had the sheriff's department, and we even had fish and game. I mean, we had all sorts of agencies training on Friday. And it's not just about schools. It's about giving them the training they need so they can go home to their families at night. And it could be any building in this community. It could be any situation they're in. Our law enforcement is just as important as our staff and students, because they're the ones that will be in the situation to protect us. So I'm really proud of the training that we offered them. And I think the feedback that we got from them, at least I got from them, was pretty amazing on Friday. The scenario training, and we had 15 high school athletes that helped put that scenario on to make sure our law enforcement is getting the training they need to react in situations. So yeah, it was good.
It was a very realistic active shooter scenario with an active shooter, and law enforcement did not know. They knew as little as you would know in any situation like that going in, and they've described to me how much they benefited from that experience. You mentioned that this was sort of an evaluation more than a training. What are the areas that you're going to be specifically looking at?
So we have to look at systems. So building leadership, it's coming back to them. The TAC1, we have the wheel, we know what we're doing, but each building is built differently. So how do you evacuate? Who do you call? Where does the lockdowns come in? So a lot of it's going to have to be us sitting down and talking about, okay, are we using our PA systems? We found out there's some parts of our systems that we're not using. well or aren't working. So we need to get those fixed. Do we need CBs or not CBs, but walkie-talkies, and just really identifying where those areas of communication, because that's so critical in any type of situation, is how do you communicate and what's the chain of command flow? Who's making the call to the district office? Who makes the call to 911? You know, there's going to be leadership in the building, out of the building, in a classroom. So we just create a lot of different scenarios where we have to decide. And some of that comes back to, honestly, is cross-training. You can't rely on one person to do everything. So, you know, lots of people need to understand. But if there's one thing that comes out of this, is we can't also rely just on saying, hey, the district needs to put more technology in. Part of this process is empowering staff and students to make decisions on what's happening around them. We have come to a society where everything has always been scripted. Well, I can't do this till I'm told to do this. That's not what TAC 1 is. It's a whole different way of training. Instead of the victim mentality, it's a mentality, hey, I can make good choices based on the scenarios that I see happening around me. How do I get out of this situation? Giving people permission to do things that's in the best interest. If you look back at some of the school shootings, and it's not even school shootings anymore, it's just public shootings in general. People are waiting for a command, and now we're empowering them. You have a choice. You can barricade, you can flee, and how do you flee appropriately so you're fleeing safely and checking your environment? And then if the worst case scenario is, how do you defend yourself if those other two options aren't available? So really, if you look at this overall training for the schools, is reacting those scenarios, empowering teachers and students to do things that we have never been taught before in the past in education. We're always told to lock down, hide under your desk, and stay there until somebody comes. Well, we've learned that that's not the best scenario of events to do. So it's really about empowering people. And it's, the addition to this is, and I'll just speak to this, this is empowering our students and staff for things outside of schools. Because we are, if you look at now, things are happening in, you know, more of your public setting, your concerts, your supermarkets and things of that nature, because schools are locking things down and being more aware it's happening. This is unfortunately more of a life skill, I guess I would say. I don't like to repeat it that way, but knowing your environment around you when you were in public or out in an event, this is just as much helping those kids with that scenario. Our little kids at the elementary, I am so impressed with them, because, you know, it's a different level of training at each level. But as we were going through the school, and we reference as ninjas, you know, they're quiet and they're hiding and they're following instructions for the teachers. And honestly, we walked into a couple rooms and I made the comment. I said, man, they must have been at specials because there's nobody there. And then all of a sudden, pop, out from everywhere. Here they come. Oh, Mr. Oski, here we are. We're here. You know, so they did a great job of being quiet ninjas. I mean, it's amazing to see how kids and the teachers respond and, you know, take priority of safety. You know, we had some make a decision based on the scenario. Were they able to exit through a window? Some exited through a door. We found out that there were communications. So, again, the students and the staff were great in all facilities. It wasn't perfect, you know, but we got better every day with how we practiced the scenario. If I was to come back, I would definitely do it a little bit different. But we definitely learned some things, and kudos goes out to the kids and the staff as they went through those evaluation processes.
So it's a very emotive subject, and I think most people feel their anxiety slightly raised, if not extremely raised, the idea, the concept of being in an active shooter situation, and the idea of your very small child, your elementary age child, you know, being in that is really quite terrifying. Do you obviously think that it is worth exposing students of that age to this kind of scenario? What do you say to parents who may be concerned that this is just a little bit too raw and real?
Well, you got to remember, everything is age appropriate, so it's not considered active. It's about lockdowns, how do you evacuate the building, very similar to fire drills. So it's all basically at a different level of what we bring in. And, you know, as we get older and get into the high school level, kids already know it. I mean, their social media, they know what's happening around them. It's something they're exposed to, so it's not that we're introducing something new to them. They're already exposed to it. And so now it's just how do you understand that process? So it gives us that understanding. why don't you run out to the hallway? You know, recognizing even those 15 kids that had an opportunity to help on Friday, they see a whole different perspective. You know, everybody thinks that law enforcement just walks in and it's just like the movies and it's just like bang, bang, and everything's down. No, there's repetition. These guys were, their heart rates were elevated. They were tense. They were coming in. They were practicing real world scenarios. And the reality is that's an eye opener to see. This isn't just easy like a video game. This isn't something law enforcement is putting their lives on this on the line to come in and save people. So there's protocol that's involved. So I really think we're not introducing something that, especially at the high school level, that kids aren't already exposed to. And not, it's not because the school exposed them to it. They're just exposed to it because of social media, their everyday lives. As a matter of fact, there are kids that just bring this stuff to us. Hey, did you hear about this? No, we didn't know about that. So kids are more informed than sometimes people allow that. But I also have to be realistic. We're not going down into the kindergarten class and saying this. We're talking about evacuations, lockdowns, very similar. We're just doing procedures in such a way. And we introduced it instead of a fire drill, it's a lockdown. We always do safety drills for kids. So, you know, now they're little quiet little ninjas. So they're quiet little ninjas because they go hide. It's not because they're running around trying to, you know, karate chop people. It's they're hiding, they're being secretive, they know the importance of staying with their teacher. I mean, all those great things that happen in things that are non-active shooter related. It could be a fire, it could be an evacuation, it could be just a stay put because, you know, there's something happening outside the building. So it is not all just related to active shooter. There are a lot of cross references that with our trainings we've already done, it's just about giving everybody the skill set and the mindset to be successful.
And indeed, I've heard from students say, I know that I learned this in a school setting, but this is going to be fantastic if I ever find myself anywhere in a mall, in a movie theater, in a concert, wherever I am. If I ever find myself in this situation, I now feel that I know what I should do or I could do. I feel that I have more skills. What kind of feedback, if any, have you had from staff?
So we'll put a survey out. We haven't. It's spring break. My survey master, Mr. Data, is not in, so that I've talked with him about that. We'll get that survey out to the staff and students, you know. In person, there were people that, you know, thought it was fabulous. There were some that had concerns. I mean, I've addressed some of those concerns. But overall, what I've heard in person has been, you know, there are goods and there are negatives. And I think some of the negatives are just putting that things that we can address. But overall, most people like the version of the training. They understand we're not ever wanting this to happen, but giving them the skill set to realize what they should and shouldn't do.
So you mentioned that this is really about empowering students and staff. One common comment that you hear frequently is teachers should be armed. What is your sense about that?
There's a lot of training and a lot of protocol that needs to be put around that. I'm going to speak for myself, and I think speak for most educators. Most educators didn't go into the business to be in the police business or to carry firearms. And it's a perception that's out there. It changes your environment, your culture of where you're at. There are some school districts that are doing it. Their legislation is looking to open that. So that's an avenue that the Board of Trustees and the community really needs to take a look at. Is it a need for this community? Is it what the community wants? Is it what the teachers want? But I can honestly say most teachers did not get in the business to be carrying a sidearm. It's some of those things, but that's something we need to look at as a district as we move forward. Not only as a district, but as a community. We need to know what parents feel about it too.
And presumably also what our law enforcement agencies think
Absolutely.
About that too. Because the idea of it is to support them. And if they don't feel that that's a benefit, or if they do feel it's a benefit, that must have an influence on a decision.
Well, just even walking in, I mean, there's some influence things, you know. Teachers or anybody coming in that has a concealed weapon, you know, that is upset and wants to meet. I mean, that's intimidation, could be intimidating, not intimidation. It's intimidating. Again, it changes the whole environment. And it's going to look different in a elementary as it's going to look in a high school. I mean, those atmospheres are completely different. So I think you have to look at all aspects of that. And more importantly, the training. You look at all the training law enforcement has, and then you probably sit down and ask them what that scenario training was like. Not just any common person can go do the scenarios they did when it becomes live. And so it's not just as simple. There's a lot of training. There's a lot of protocol that goes around it. There's a lot of parameters and rules that have to be put into place. And then, you know, not only law enforcement, we got to get our insurance company involved too, because they're going to say, we're not going to insure you unless you do this, this, and this. So it's just not as simple as some different things, because we have a responsibility to protect staff and students. And that liability falls on the school when you start doing that. That means training, certification, rules, policies. It's a long journey as we go through that process. And I can speak for this myself. In emergency situations, and you see these live trainings like we did in law enforcement, it is not hard to make a mistake.
And if listeners would like to hear more about that, I recommend that you listen to the interview with Sheriff Odenbar and Police Chief Bissett, and that goes into that very detail of how different things are in those scenarios as to how you think you will behave. And that is the purpose of training, indeed.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for bringing this to our school district. I hope it will continue.
One last comment I want to make with that. A true statement of gratitude to all law enforcement that attended the training on Friday, including the Fish and Game, the Highway Patrol, and you know what they're doing to not only protect our schools and volunteer their time for kids, but for this community. So a huge thank you to them.